Welcome to ASP on, this is October 17, 2008. This is the third episode of the Alt Source Games podcast. I'm your host, Griffin Hoffman, and we have an even sparser crew today. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hello, this is Mike. I'm back from my podcast sabbatical last week. I'm glad to be back and contributing again.
Good to have you back, Mike.
I feel strongly about being here.
And it's Matt right here, back for my third time with Griff. So
we're experiencing some crew difficulties. Some people out of town. Some people are working. That happens. Anyway, we're still going to go on with the show today. We're going to be doing pretty much everything. If you read the blog, I made some really stupid names for each of the segments, and I don't really feel comfortable saying them out loud now, so I think we'll just leave it as is. And I apologize, I'm fighting a cold, and I'll be clearing my throat and making gross mucusy noises. But yeah, there's been a lot going on this week, so news is going to be kind of a big topic this week. We'll be doing the usual, what you've been playing, news, followed up by our discussions, part one and two. We'll be talking about what we're looking most forward to this month in terms of video games. And then we'll also be tackling the question of, are games too easy or are games too hand-holding nowadays? And then we'll get in, we won't actually start this, but we'll do a little introduction to the new segment called No Game Left Behind, where that's sort of going to be like we play old games. They're important.
Yeah. Shared experience.
Exactly. And then we'll discuss them every week, yeah. So I guess we can move right into what you've been playing. Go ahead, Mike.
All right. Well, this week I have been I hit WoW pretty hard for the first time in a long time. I've been absent for a while, and especially with the patch that came out on Wednesday and the Lich King coming out next month. It's been a lot of pressure from Phil in particular.
Pressure?
A lot. He's been on my case for not playing, and finally he was begging me just to get to 58 so he can go to the Outlands.
What level are you now?
I'm 58.
Five? Oh, you're 58. All 58, right.
Yeah.
Have you been to Outlands then?
I have been. We just got there yesterday before I had to go to work.
Do you hate it?
I did not hate it.
Really?
At all. Yeah. It's a lot better with another person than like, Phil and I are really enjoying it, especially because everything is so different.
Mm-hmm. Did you make it to? Did you run to Shatra?
I did.
Shatrak?
Did make it there with little to no difficulty.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
So, Phil was complaining a lot about getting killed by high level hordes, but it didn't really happen to me.
That's
much.
Good. Good so, for you.
Much more enjoyable experience than what Phil. He seemed very frustrated.
Yeah.
I also have been sticking with Mega Man 9.
Yeah. That's right. I tried to. I gave a little shout out to you last week.
I did. I heard that. I heard that. Haven't really made any progress on the bosses, but learning that farming for extra lives and for energy tanks and those kind of things makes everything a lot easier. So hopefully that experience will get better.
You're playing on PlayStation 3, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, is there trophy support for that?
Not that I'm aware of. There are achievements in the game.
Yeah.
But, or whatever. I don't know what you want to call them, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's anything. I haven't gotten a single trophy
okay.
for any of my
games. I know
games.
They're hard as
Yeah, they're,
nails.
They're no joke to get. They're hard as nails.
I know one is beat the game, and another one is kill 1,000 enemies.
Yeah, I've gotten some of those, like kill 500 or kill okay. so many of the enemies, like Conqueror or whatever. I don't know what they're all called, but.
And there's like a
do it without jumping.
With
do it without taking.
Without,
or not without
jumping.
Not without jumping, but with like minimal jumping.
Okay, and then like
don't take any damage before you get to the boss section, yeah. and those are that's
or
just
don't like kill any enemies except for the
yeah,
boss.
Pacifism, yeah, mm-hmm. there's a pacifism kind of thing, and I don't know. A lot of them are real tough.
Matt, why are you shaking your head?
I would just hate that those kind of achievements. like. Yeah, don't take any damage. Oh, that's so easy, you know. And like
it's, but it's not at all easy.
I know, but it's just like That's something even I won't even try to do. I'm just like, no.
Oh, that's
no, I'm not going to do that.
I have to admit, though, for, as far as achievements go, with the patch in World of Warcraft that came out with the achievements, I have been...
You've been going out of your way to get a
couple?
Pretty
pathetic, yeah. I've been trying to get some of those just because... Well, right now it's because Phil has more of them than me.
Oh, God. I bet you're not hearing the end of that either.
I'm not. I do not want to be...
I was tempted, actually, to reload my subscription and play just to see what the new patch was about after reading Keyes's review online.
Oh yeah, it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. People are really getting into it.
I'm sure.
The new profession inscription came out, like, and that next day that I played, people had already maxed it out.
Really?
Yeah, there were people, cuz now you can
it corresponds to glyphs, right?
Yeah, glyphs that you carry in the spell book, in your spell book. Which is pretty much all your skills that you have. You have a different page that says glyphs. You have, I think, 6 slots, 3 major glyphs, and 3 minor glyphs.
And they can affect, like, spells or techniques you have, right?
Yeah,
as well as just aesthetic things.
Uh-huh. They affect, like, some of them are for the mage. Instead of turning somebody into a sheep, you can turn them into a penguin.
Penguin.
Has been a big one. And then there are they enhance other skills.
Yeah.
That for class-specific... They changed a thing that's been kind of annoying though with that has been they changed the routes that the boats take, and it threw me off really bad the first day, because they have the main harbor that you used to go to.
Oh yeah, how is the Stormwind Harbor looking? Does it look cool?
Real impressive. It's really cool looking. You can see the new steel boats that are going to go to Northrend.
They're not sailing out, I take it, though, right?
No. Okay. People have actually asked that, and you just kind of want to slap them through the game.
It was interesting speculating how that would be solved. Like, would the boats be sailing? You just get, like, dumped off in the middle of the ocean because they won't load Northrend or something?
No, they have them sitting in kind of a dry dock situation where you can see, like, off. Like, these boats are still under construction. You can go and you can look at them like, oh... They're really ornate. They've got steel siding, and they look like icebreakers, kind of.
Oh, neat. So yeah, you'd need that.
You would.
It's icy up north.
It is. That's the rumor.
Uh-huh. And lichy.
Also, very lichy. That's where the king supposedly makes his domain.
Domicile.
That's what I was looking for. Thanks, Griff.
Domain works.
Yeah, kind of. Sounded a little awkward, though. Other than that... I've been playing Pixel Junk Eden a little bit, but mostly dedicated really hard to World of Warcraft at the moment. Looking forward to the titles coming out.
So titles?
The expansion coming out and the other stuff in October that we're looking forward to still.
Oh, right.
So mostly killing time until new material is available.
Oh, boy. Matt?
Well, I went back on the GTA 4 bandwagon.
Again.
I'm just trying to go through that and just finish the game for the second time and just be done with it forever.
Okay.
Yeah. This isn't like my third or fourth time trying to beat it.
No, I didn't know you were on a second time. I thought it was beyond that.
It does seem like it's been more than that.
Well, I usually get interrupted by another game, and I was like, oh, I'll get back to it later. But, I'm just going to bowl right through that, and I'm almost done with it. And then I'll just move on to something else. But, that's just pretty easy and pretty quick. And then I was just playing Fallout. You know, I actually completed, like, my first mission or whatever. Had to kill a bunch of scorpions in some town. And I've kind of felt really stupid during the game. I didn't know you... I kind of thought it was really stupid you couldn't run for a while. Like, I thought you only could walk. Like, I'm clicking things, and in combat I'm walking.
When
and
you
I'm
double-click,
like,
you run?
No, my friend who's played it a lot said just hold down shift and you can click wherever and you'll just keep on running. And I'm like, oh, this is much easier. This game's going a lot faster instead of just walking all over the place.
I put mine on auto run in the settings, run everywhere.
And apparently, I'm not sure if it's a glitch or anything, but during combat you can run away and you'll use the same amount of action points instead of just walking. So.
And you move faster.
Yeah, you move faster, you just run away and you... Basically, what I did is I just ran away and had my partner kill everyone. So,
wow.
Yeah, I felt like a little coward.
Yeah, that's real manly.
Well, I messed up my distributing, like, my attributes, points and all that. My friend said he's...
That does really mess you up.
And so I just have to wait for all that. But I'll try to beat that and then maybe go on to Fallout 2. And I'm going to have to really hustle, but I want to kind of get at least one of them done before I play Fallout 3. So
Fallout 2 is really good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So much fun.
I'm jealous of I don't have access to these things.
They have a copy.
Do you really?
You have a computer.
I do. I don't have.
I just went on to Good Old Games and bought it for $6.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it'll format it, like, it'll make it appropriate for your computer.
Oh, nice. I'll look into that when I'm at home then.
Yeah. You have to sign up for their beta though, because it's not, if you go to goodoldgames.com, it's just like a screen. Like it's just like a front end. There's nothing there to it.
Oh.
So you have to sign up for their beta and you get an email that's like, congratulations, you're in. And then you go and you get like a link to the beta website.
Mm.
And then you can pick through the games that they have listed. That's what I did.
Oh, nice. Fallout 2. We'll do that for Fallout 2.
Support good old games.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Do it. Do it.
And then
Call of Cthulhu, how's that turning out?
Did I say I beat that last week?
I thought you said you were stuck. Because of that save feature.
Yeah, you just recently beat that.
Oh, okay. Well, I did beat that. The ending, well, apparently they have rankings for the ending, you know. You gotta do certain things. You'll get the full ending.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, I didn't get the full ending. So I'm like, screw that. I just went on YouTube and watched it. But
nice.
The ending. I was kind of surprised. I mean, I was just like, wow. You figure out like where your amnesia, like how you got that, and what happened during that time, and what happens to you at the end of the game, and what everything means and everything. But yeah, like that was pretty satisfying to an end. You know, like they explained everything and.
Sounds pretty cliched.
Yeah. It's a good story, though. It's kind of original, so I like that.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I like the way that it looked. It was really actually a fun game to watch for me with Matt because there were just a lot of weird stuff that would happen. You die from going insane.
Yeah. If you've seen too many disturbing things, you'll like lose your sanity and just die. Yeah.
Oh, this is sounding cool now.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
you got to play it. I don't know. Some players would just hate it, probably, but. I kind of liked it for its story and where it was going, so.
I should have just watched you play it.
Yeah, then you get a good gauge of how it is, so.
Mm-hmm. But
other than that, not a whole lot.
The same for me. It's been pretty quiet this week as well. I played Wipeout HD a bit. I switched from, I switched from the, what is that called? The wireless six-axis controls to D-pad controls. I broke down and I had to switch to D-pad, and it's considerably easier. I also took off the pilot assist though, so you actually you can run into walls now. I run into walls now, so it makes that much more challenging. I think I got to the third speed level. And it's like Venom, Flash, and then the one above that. Maybe Rapier or something like that, and I can't handle it. Like, I can't drive. I don't know how to play without hitting walls and, like, ramming into cars, and I just randomly explode, which I found out it's very challenging, but it's really fun. I don't like racing games, and I can play that for hours.
Now that's one thing that kept me out of that was I'm not a racer either. It never appealed to me other than I played F-Zero back in the day, but...
No, this game is so much fun. It's the time trials and the stages. I just like playing it for the stages. Like there's this one that I just got to that is like a ski lift. It's like built around got this really cool downhill portion, and it's got like the ski lift that brings you up to the area. Kind of, you know, it's very reminiscent of like a ski slope, and it's really really fun to play. Nice. You have to go really fast. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
I'll probably try that out.
Yeah, and I've been playing Okami, which I was playing that yesterday. Yeah. During the time I was awake, and I beat the main section. I'm like a third of the way through it now.
Really?
So I beat the boss, like Orochi, the gigantic multi-headed dragon demon monster that's been plaguing the land, and that's kind of like the main story that I've completed. And now they're like, you need to go into the big city and explore more. And I'm like, I don't really want to. Okay.
Tired of it?
I'm not tired of it, but it's very tedious. Like having to listen to the stupid little bug tell me, he'll say something like, "Oh, look at that lily pad out there on the water," and I'm like, and then me as the person playing the game will say, Clearly that means go to the lily pad in the water. And then the bug will say, you should go out to that lily pad in the middle of the water. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, if that needs to be reiterated, if that needs to be said that blatantly, so be it. And then he'll say, and then it'll come up in like breaking the fourth wall text. And it's like, swim out into the water and get to the lily pad. I'm like, really? You need to tell me three times to do this? Can I like turn it off child mode and play on like not stupid anymore? It's very frustrating.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. And that's like tutorials. That's what every puzzle is like. Every single puzzle is like, you should do this. You do this. This is how you do this. It's so like,
it
really?
Completely eliminates any puzzle solving from it effectively by telling you how to do everything or what?
Well, no, that's the odd part, because then in other portions of the game, it'll just throw you into a situation where you're like, and then it just expects you to know what to do. Like, there's this one part on, like, there's this log that's going downriver. You're riding this log downriver, and you have to latch the log onto certain points that are on the bank.
Uh-huh.
But the bank is going by so quickly, you can hardly see the things that you're supposed to latch onto. And I was like, I just kept riding the log. I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to be doing here? Like, I know I'm supposed to hook those onto something, but I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to hook them onto. And then I saw one quickly whiz by, and I was like, oh, there we go.
Weird.
Yeah, it's very strange, and I don't know, it's fun. It looks really cool. The combat's really a lot of fun. Like, it's like the next, it's like if Zelda did something different. It feels so much like a Zelda game. I like it a lot, but I'm kind of done with it.
Mm.
Kind of ready to move on.
Yeah, burn out on it.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I've put in like 20 hours on it, and yeah. I'm a third of the way through it. And
Jesus.
Yeah.
So it is a pretty, big game, yeah.
Well, the game itself is like, this is just the beginning of the adventure. Now the real story begins. And then I was reading some like reviews online about it and some message board stuff, and it gets really weird. Like, they're like, this is the Ark of Yamato, and you're actually a celestial being that fell off the Ark, and Waka came after you on the Ark, and he's actually a moon god. And I'm like, okay, this is dumb. I quit.
Wow. That got real intense.
Yeah, it turned into, like, Pokemon or something all of a sudden. I'm like, I'm not interested anymore. Anyway, I think Okami's done, though. And then Fallout 2. I've been playing that a little bit. Got done with the Brotherhood section and infiltrated the base. Got Ooh. The power armor. It's good.
Yeah. I'm not that far at all.
So. No, it's really fun. I got the dog. Like, I got this robotic dog to follow me.
I heard there's a lot of people you can recruit in that game.
Yeah, the robotic dog's really funny because his text when he talks and fights is like, click, woof, woof, click, whir. Like, oh, that's adorable. Or the, like, when you're talking to the dog, you can be like, are you a talking dog? Is one of the dialogue options. And then the dog's like, well, I am speaking to you. I am communicating to you through the English language and the use of this projected voice. And I am canine in format, so I guess that would make me a talking dog.
Very nice.
And that just ends the dialogue, like, to insult you as how stupid you'd say. That's the end, I guess, of what you've been playing. It's been a very limited week, I guess. Yeah. It's going to be a big week next week, I think.
Yeah, that's when all the fun will begin.
Plus, I've been crazy sick, so I haven't been playing too much either.
Too bad.
Yep.
You're definitely missing an action in Myst around the complex.
West End, or?
Or not just West End, but Phil was very concerned about your whereabouts.
Yeah, no, I was out yesterday. I was out all week.
He was tempted to go down and bang on your windows.
Maybe it was
point.
Him.
What you, oh, creeping
night,
on that
yeah.
Last night?
Flashlight. Someone like shined a flashlight through my window at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's probably a security guard.
My window.
Well, he's probably just like, boop-doo-doo, just searching around
bedroom
with
bedroom window?
Yeah, what the hell? Matt?
Yeah, it was probably
me?
Matt.
I was in bed by like 3:30. I was passed out.
I don't believe you.
Well, okay. I really can't prove anything to say that, you know, I didn't
you
do that.
You can't prove anything either.
All right, we'll call it an end to the what you've been playing section this week, and we'll get into the news in just a moment. And we're back with the news section. Lots of stuff going on today, or all this week, actually. Tokyo Game Show wrapped up. Tons of stuff coming out from that. Mm-hmm. Lots of movies, lots of trailers, which
yep.
I will work on this weekend, getting posted on the blog. Yeah, if you really need to see them now, 1UP has some, YouTube has some.
Yeah, they're all over
the place. I posted the Bayonetta trailer, which I'm in love with.
Yeah.
And I wrote some stuff about that on the website or on the blog as well. I hated it when it first came out.
Really?
When I first saw the first trailer and I was reading all the stuff in magazines about it, this is looks like the most overrated game I've ever seen. Like, I don't want to play another Devil May Cry nonsense game. And now that this new trailer's out, I'm sold. Like,
really?
Yeah.
It's just one thing.
Gotcha. Overtly sexual, stupid.
Oh, yeah, very.
Yeah, that actually, like, the Devil May Cry type combo-driven look-cool gameplay looks actually cool, not... Like, I don't know what's happening, like in Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
So, Matt.
What?
You're internally scoffing at me.
It's like, I don't think it tries too hard necessarily. And what do you mean you don't know what's going on in Devil May Cry?
It just seems like everybody tells me that Devil May Cry is about looking cool. And it's about having, like, sweet combos and playing and looking, like, really cool and doing sweet stuff. And, like, I don't feel like that's happening. There's only so many actions you can do, and they just look really... It's very monotonous.
Yeah.
Very dull.
Well, things hit.
Were you
things
thinking
with
of
sword.
The first, second, or third one?
Four, the only one that I've played.
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah. That was the I played the
Which
demo
I think
for
would
that.
Be the only cool one because you have that Devil Bringer arm and you can like grapple onto people
yeah,
and pull. The
third
them
one
arm.
Had a bunch of different combos and stuff. You had different stances and fighting styles and you could switch on those and do everything.
Yeah.
Mm. That was pretty fun, I thought. Better than the first one.
Maybe. I never played.
Yeah. Some people don't like it. It took me a while to get into it, so.
I've heard that 4 is one of the best ones out there, and I am sorely disappointed.
Yeah, I was not impressed.
I stopped playing it.
Yeah, I'll get it.
What's that?
I'll get it eventually.
You haven't played it?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I haven't played it. I played a demo, I guess, but it seemed like any other Devil May Cry, so.
I wrote my impressions on it a while ago, I think over the summer when I was playing it, and like I wrote how I enjoyed the cutscenes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I wasn't playing the game.
Burn.
Yeah. Oh, they were good. They looked really cool. They were Dante and Nero, or you know, there's quite a bit of sexual tension there.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah, but terrible. I just couldn't get into the whole, you're a badass, you know, look cool playing the game. I didn't feel it. It was too easy.
I was very underwhelmed as well by it. Especially the first boss that I fought in that game was a huge disappointment, a huge joke. Just the whole thing, the combos.
What was the first boss?
I was in some kind of village and he was some giant demon
guy.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. He was flaming centaur dude.
Yeah, flaming centaur dude. Okay. And he was incredibly disappointing. First time he just destroyed me because I had no idea what to do. I just ran at him head on. But then,
yeah. But then you just grab him with the arm and it like takes off half his health.
Yeah.
Challenging.
Yeah, and the combo system.
Oh, you're challenging, huh?
What's that?
I can give you a challenging game.
I don't want to play Devil May Cry 2.
The most
impossible third one.
Game.
Oh, the third one?
I thought
the
2
American
was the hardest
version
one.
That was the hard, normal version was hard.
Oh.
Not the special edition. I have the original version, and I beat that. So.
So 1 is the one that people like. 2 is the prequel. That's
god-awful.
Terrible. And 3 is the ridiculously hard one. And
yeah, the first one that came out, because I think they screwed it up and... The American version or whatever.
American Normal had Japanese, like,
Japanese
hard,
right? Yeah. And it was pretty difficult sometimes, yeah.
That's,
well,
really bad.
I was disappointed nonetheless.
Maybe Bayonetta will change your mind.
It already has. It looks like, I love it.
Yeah, I saw the trailer.
She's like sexy librarian.
Yeah. Starts off with, you want to touch me? And I just started laughing from there, and it got...
It's.
Insane,
I mean,
and
yeah.
There's all kinds of crazy action and
well, I hope it takes
shoes.
Itself lightly in that respect. Like,
yeah, it didn't seem serious. Like Devil May Cry with the hero with your
everybody's so angsty and
yep,
so it's very,
very it's an emo game.
It's very emo. Everybody is overly emotional, and I hope that this game just makes light of that. And you have this overtly sexual female character, which I think is really cool. And she seems to be like aware of her
business,
as well as her. Character that she's like that she's portrayed as, you know, she having this female character who is overtly sexual and knows it, I think is really cool. So I'm excited. It looks cool. She
it
has guns in
cool.
her feet.
Yes, that was something that kind of freaked me out at first. gun shoes, but
yeah.
It looks exciting. Looks fun.
Yeah.
Stand on your head and shoot people with your legs.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff to cover for news, I guess. We can start with something you got over there, Mike.
All right. Well, let's, for you Warhammer Online players, which apparently there are 500,000 of you.
Wow.
Already, yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
There.
I wonder how many of those are gold sellers and how many are actual players.
Apparently gold farming is not very favorable. It's not very well it's received.
Looked down upon, yeah.
Warhammer.
Their official statement is go to hell.
Really?
Gold sellers, go to hell.
That's a very firm stance, I guess. Yeah, wow. Was not aware of that. But anyway, some of the classes that were originally cut from the game back in July, primarily from the Empire and the Dark Elf, will be added to the game in December. We're talking about the Black Guard for the Dark Elves, and the Knight of the Blazing Sun for the Empire will be back, and they'll be part of the war. So people are very excited about that. They've got the producers announced plans for the character design and their appearance, and there'll be a newsletter out.
Those are two tanking classes, too.
Yes, because apparently those tanks were sadly missing from the Dark Elves, and apparently the Empire, too.
The humans, The humans didn't have a
tank. Oh, yeah, it was the High Elves or whatever who did. Yep. They had the Swordmaster.
They had the Swordmaster, and the Dwarves had the Ironbreaker.
Right. So everybody is on equal footing now, apparently, as far as tanking goes.
Tanking, yeah. I don't think the other classes have been balanced.
Yeah.
Hit, though.
But
I think there's still, like, no orc. The only thing that's out there for orc is a tank.
Oh, well, I think that's pretty much.
Or shaman as well. Or no, that's a goblin. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. There's a goblin, and he's like a pet. He's a squig trainer or something like that.
Squig herder, yeah.
Yeah, herder, that's what it is. But I guess that's pretty much what you get. If you're going to play an orc, you're going to play something that's going to punch things in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really ask for more. But I think that makes sense. I'm not really disappointed in that. But
yeah.
And then
it's interesting that it's coming out in like December, though. Like almost a month right after Lich King launches.
Yeah.
Do you think they're kind of like wondering if people are going to kind of get burned out or disappointed by the Lich King and hoping that some people come back to... Warhammer.
I don't think, this is what I thought from the beginning, is I don't think Warhammer is going to have a problem with people dropping their subscription, because the people who play Warhammer, either they're already burned out from World of Warcraft, or they have been following Warhammer for, it's been around for 25 years. It's got a huge following, huge fan base, and these are people that play it, that are clearly loyal to it, and they want to be a part of it, and it's something that they're interested in doing, and they want to have... carve out their own little section of this huge universe.
Yeah.
And it's a brand new experience, and first time people have been able really to do that.
Yeah.
So well, I don't think it'll
be hurting. For the
Warhammer
fans, I mean.
Yeah, for the Warhammer fans, not for Warcraft at all. But
then I've been listening to some, like, the guys on Legendary Thread are not Warhammer followers.
Mm-hmm.
But they're interested in it because of the PvP aspect. Like, the PvP is so far removed from WoW that they really enjoy that. It's very different and rewarding in different ways, and the different classes function in different ways in PvP. So a lot of people are preferring that to WoW PvP. So maybe things will change with Lich King. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Just from what I saw when you had your pre-order for Warhammer that...
I think my subscription ends in 10 days or so now. I paid for a month.
Oh, nice. But just from what I saw from that with the PvP and how different classes work together, the collision detection, none of that stupid run-through characters crap that really ticks me off in World of Warcraft. And
that you have
quests. There are benefits to doing PvP other than gear.
Getting experience from PvP.
Experience from PvP really
amazing.
Turned me on to that. That was such... There's a purpose to going out and killing people other than... Oh, wow, I'm 20 levels
like
higher
griefing,
than you, and I beat you down.
That's
one thing. Mm-hmm. Ganking in Warcraft is sick. And
sick, wow.
I got really annoyed today, or the other day, because I got my corpse got camped.
Oh, really?
But fortunately, I was able, I have multiple characters on a different server, so I just log out for a little while, and this guy can just sit and waste his life. mm-hmm. trying to beat down a lobby, and I'll just go do something else constructive and not get frustrated about it. But
that's irritating.
That is incredibly irritating, especially when you know that there is no reward for that for him other than, I beat the crap out of somebody who I caught off guard and from behind.
Not even, though. Like, is he... You said he was he higher level than you?
Yeah, I couldn't like use one of the skulls? question mark, whatever, paladin.
That's ridiculous.
What elves, you jerks.
Yeah.
Punching me in the face. Stunlocking me. I'm not very happy with you.
Yeah. Such is virtual life.
Yes, it is. I'll get over it.
You want to read what you have there, Matt?
Off of Kotaku, we have a list of North American PlayStation Store.
Oh, the updates for this week.
Yeah, the updates. I'll try to go through these as quick as possible. For games and demos, they have SOCOM US Navy SEALs Confrontation. They have Snowcross Championship Racing. Deadhead Fred for the PSP.
Sounds interesting. Just going to say that.
What, Deadhead
the
Fred?
The name just caught my attention alone.
Interchangeable heads. I'll just leave it at that.
Huh. PQ2, which is stands for what?
Oh,
Persona?
No, PQ2, isn't that, it's like the answer to Brain Age? Or WarioWare?
Oh, something
like
that.
It's one of the two. It's one of those, like, quick mini game
practical
things.
Practical Intelligence.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, so it's the Brain Age answer.
Yeah. Okay, MotorStorm Pacific Rift demo, and they have a Lego Man Batman, the video game demo.
Oh, yeah.
For add-ons and expansions, they have the Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2009 Spyglass Hill Golf Course. The Eye of Judgment expansion bundle.
You don't need to go through all of them if you don't like.
I'll go through most. For Rock Band, they have four new songs from Motley Crue, including Dr. Feelgood, Kickstart My Heart, Rattlesnake Shake, and The Same Old Situation. And some other ones are She Goes Down, Slice of Your Pie, Sticky Sweet. Wow, these are really appropriate
graphic names.
Time for Change, Without You, and Don't Go Away Mad. Something else I want to mention is that on October 21st, LucasArts is going to reveal some gameplay footage of their new MMO in San Francisco.
Oh, yes.
And it's, you know, the worst kept secret. It's rumored to be KOTAR 3, but I'm pretty sure it is.
Are they teaming up with BioWare on that?
Yeah.
Oh,
BioWare Austin, I believe.
So then,
very
probably
suspicious.
All right.
Yeah. Even though the exec already said it's KOTAR 3, but not official. So,
well.
Hopefully, it is. If I mean, I'll play it.
Then I will get into MMOs. And
you've only said good
crazy
things about it. So,
yep.
I still think you should try Warhammer.
You want him to play Warhammer?
Not Warhammer. I meant Warcraft. Sorry, subliminal.
Yeah,
I mean,
we've been pushing it so hard in the past month.
I loves me some Warhammer.
Yeah, Warhammer was good, but after I played all the classes, I got really bored.
Yeah, Warhammer.
Yeah,
that's depressing.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That's okay.
All right,
sorry to deviate everybody.
Is that everything?
Oh, yeah, that's everything I had.
I've got this article here about Nobi Nobi Boy. This was another thing that was shown at TGS. Nobi Nobi Boy comes from Keita Takahashi. He's the fellow that made Katamari Damacy. So he's got a great track record for video games. He is doing this game. He's creating this game called Nobi Nobi Boy, which had a very strange trailer at TGS. Lots of people really enjoyed it. It had really cute music. But it was really hard to tell what the actual game was about. And at the moment, I'm giving it a thumbs down, even though everybody in the press says it looks like it's going to be the best game ever. But at the moment, it looks childish, and like I don't want to waste my time playing it. But I'm ready to be wrong, just like I was about Bayonetta. Like I'm excited to be absolutely incorrect. But this article here from looks like PS3fanboy.com claims that Nobi Nobi Boy will be a PSN title. And they discovered this by looking at the TGS press website, and it listed this game, Nobi Nobi Boy, as a downloadable PSN title.
Oh.
So you don't even need to leave home
to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out. There's a kind of an interesting trailer. It's fun sounding music, but I'm not sold quite yet.
A lot of weird trailers. Did you see the trailer for Linger in Shadows or something like that?
What is that?
Oh, that? Were we watched
Matt
that? Yeah,
I watched that the other day.
Still no idea what it is.
Linger in Shadows?
Linger in Shadows, I think, is what it's called.
What is it for? Next gen?
Next gen, it's next gen, yeah.
And you're like a cloud of smoke monster. And the trailer is bizarre. It shows...
Lost? Smoke
yeah,
monster?
Smoke, yeah. Smoke like monster. Like a Lost-esque
from Lost.
Smoke okay. monster.
Oh my gosh.
And
he's whoring himself out to other...
His other franchises.
Smokey, you bastard.
And the trailer shows a weird cityscape, and it cuts back and forth between this dog and this cat, and the cat is sitting on a ledge, and the dog is actually flying through the air.
Sounds amazing.
Towards the cat.
Uh-huh.
And then Smoke Monster appears from behind flying dog and engulfs dog, trailer over. No idea what is going on.
I'm going to have to watch this.
It's bizarre.
It sounds amazing.
If you can find any more information about that, I'd be really intrigued.
Linger in Shadows?
Linger in Shadows, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Very, very strange looking.
No idea. Haven't heard of it.
And more news from PlayStation.blog about Little Big Planet and its release date. Unfortunately, has been pushed back to the week of October 27th due to some background music tracks that apparently contained two expressions that can be found in the Quran. Apparently, according to Griff, the music... He actually listened to it. There was a link, I think you said, on
there was
Kotaku.
A link on Kotaku, and it sounded, I don't know, I'm...
Stereotypical?
It sound, yeah, I classified it as stereotypical because I obviously don't know any of that language, but I don't know. It sounds like no harm was intended or anything like that.
Yeah, I could say absolutely that would be the case. I don't think anybody's out to offend.
No, of course.
Especially something as sensitive as your belief system.
Right.
So just an unfortunate oversight.
But yeah, it's all in that foreign Islamic language. It's not like anything that is recognizable to any English audience or anything like that. It's not like, you know, something or another sucks or whatever.
Well, you know, hopefully that'd be a little unnecessary to say the least. So there, but they are will be available retail just I think a week later. A week later than they said it would be originally. So not a.
October 20?
Yeah, I said the 27th, but I wasn't sure about the original release date. So. Yeah.
It's going to upset some people.
Yeah, I've been getting more excited the more I've seen about Little Big Planet. I know Mike has been talking about it.
Yeah.
Mentioned it to me one time.
I'm excited to see what he does with that game.
He'll go nuts, I think. He'll go absolutely crazy.
Maybe.
He's
oh my god. Sorry, just a tangent here. Back to Okami. So Okami, the game is you draw all these brush. Okay, right. This just reminds me because when I was at Mike's house, we were doing this. At Keys's house, we were doing this. You have the there's a mechanic where you like pause the game sort of, and you can like use the thumbstick to move like the paintbrush around. You can paint stuff, and different things you paint will manipulate the environment in different ways. Like you paint like a sun, and it makes it daytime. Or you paint like. You can paint like a slice through something. It'll cut trees or, you know, people or whatever, like emo kids. I don't know, whatever. It'll do that. So
very nice.
As we're playing it, like Mike's like, hey, can I play? And the first thing he does is he draws a penis. And it like makes a penis in grass on the screen.
The first thing everyone goes to is the penis.
So finally in this game, there's this portion where you get like a piece of paper that you have to wear on your face.
Oh, God.
I was playing this yesterday, and like you have to infiltrate the demon lair and they say, would you let your design, draw a design on top of this sheet of paper so you can blend in?
Not going
you can
to go
guess
well.
What I drew. And it ended up looking a lot more like a middle finger, though. Still, well. It worked.
It's
my little sidekick said it was a terrible job that I did. I'm sorry. That just reminded me a lot of...
Just the creating aspect.
Yeah. I thinking of Mike creating things has led me to that.
As phallic as possible.
He's played Spore.
No, no, he hasn't.
No, Keys hasn't.
No,
he could do a lot of things with that game. So
yeah, showed some of those wonderful videos of penis creatures in Spore that are rather graphic.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Anyway, Little Big Planet delayed.
It is okay. Everything will be right with the world soon.
That's right. Another week, we'll survive.
hopefully.
Is that all you had, Matt? It was just the
yeah. Other than that, I was just watching videos and stuff, games and so.
I'll quickly go through this. I am planning to go pick up Dead Space probably this weekend, and it's got a Metacritic score of 89, and it got a B+ from Matt Leone on 1UP.com. Metacritic is like a really good website to, well, I don't know. It's a very interesting website, compiles all these different reviews and stuff.
That and
like that.
Game Rankings, I think, is pretty
game
good.
Game Rankings, too. Yeah, Metacritic will do everything. Little Big Planet already has a 95 on Metacritic.
Wow.
Yep. And Max Payne, the movie,
got a
29 on Metacritic.
Surprised.
And got a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What an awful idea.
Yeah. Anybody surprised about that?
No.
No, exactly. Also, on Legendary Thread this week, I was talking to Mike about this earlier, but Curt Schilling made an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
The pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
He owns 38 Studios. Apparently, he's like an avid MMO player. Yeah. He's been playing UO, been playing EverQuest, been playing all the classics and tabletop. He even did like tabletop gaming, I believe. And he's getting people in the league to start playing WoW now. And he does some games journalism. So they interviewed him. He was at what's that place called? He was at BlizzCon,
mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting. I suggest listening to the 1UP or the 1UP's Legendary Thread because. Oh. It's really surprising to hear what he has to say. But yeah, his company is making an MMO called Copernicus, or it's tentatively titled Copernicus for the moment. So we'll see how that turns up. Do you have anything else there, Mike?
Oh, I don't.
Okay. Then we got what's coming out next week right here. There's a whole bunch of stuff, but we'll kind of just keep it to the...
highlights.
Yeah, to the highlights.
Our biased highlights.
My biased highlights. We've got Portal still alive for Xbox 360. That's the Portal expansion that's going to have the new levels.
Hmm.
Whether or not it's going to have new story, unknown. We'll see. I don't know.
Just some random puzzles, or is it, yeah?
I think it's just like more puzzles. Puzzles using the Portal gun. Who knows if it's going to have more... What's her name? The voice.
Oh, that robot.
GLaDOS or something like that. More
real.
Companion Cube. I'm sure there's people out there who are hoping.
Probably.
Praying to their Companion Cube stuffed animals that they'll get to see it again.
Oh, Companion Cube.
Also, Far Cry 2 for Xbox 360, PC, and PS3 is coming out on the 21st next week. Matt, you look excited about that.
Yeah.
Far Cry 2, good.
It's gotten good review. Well, I think there's only been 2 or 3 reviews, but I mean, I imagine it's gonna be a really good game.
Mike and I just watched a video, and
it's
really cool burning grass.
Yeah, we were admittedly making fun of it.
That's right,
because the trailer was lame.
It was very lame.
And all of a sudden, the entire field you were standing in was engulfed in flame, and we had to shut up
because of like a grenade you threw or something.
Yeah,
the cult was like a do anything trailer.
No,
it was like, watch a guy crouch around holding a gun and not shoot anything for half the trailer.
And then he eventually did shoot some things. And I mean, the physics on destroying buildings was pretty sweet looking.
Yeah.
And the actual, you see, normally in a game, you chuck a grenade around, no big deal.
Yeah. It would, like, swap out the present bush for, like, the absent burnt bush. And
yeah.
This time, it was like the flames were moving towards him burning through the grass, and the character was backing up. It was pretty cool.
It was impressive, yeah. But other than that, I know nothing about that.
Neither do I.
Franchise at all.
I know it's there's some hype behind it. We've got Castlevania: Order of Ecclesia for the DS coming out on the 21st as well. If I owned a DS, I would be very excited about that. It looks very reminiscent of Symphony of the Night. I think it's supposed to be, you know, that and Portrait of Ruin, any of the DS games. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know any of them.
I played Portrait of Ruin. And I really liked that one. Or whatever, Dawn of Lament, I don't know, something like that.
Dawn of Lament.
I don't know what it was. Whatever the one you like, capture souls.
Oh.
On DS.
Oh, on DS.
I think it was Portrait of Ruin. I liked it a lot.
I don't know.
But this looks like it's kind of in that same aesthetic. You play as a female.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How about that?
Is she a Belmont?
What's that?
She a Belmont?
I don't know. Maybe
related?
Maybe she's an Ecclesiastian.
Probably. Order of Ecclesia.
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
Also, Eternal Sonata for PS3 coming out on the 21st. There's been a demo up on PlayStation Network, but I haven't touched it.
Neither have I. I saw that the other day.
The premise sounds really weird. Like, it's about Chopin's or Chopin's like unfinished symphony. I don't know. It's creepy. Like,
it's if I understood it right, or if I'm remembering it right, it's like your composer who is dying or is dead or is.
Well, I thought
sick
it was is like you are Chopin, and then he's composing his on his death. Oh, there's a dog outside. Sorry. He's composing a final symphony or something like that, and you somehow become like involved like with the music as a character.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like it's the description that I read was.
Sounds weird.
Sounds
very,
weird.
Very Japanese RPG.
It's helping you move on to the next or make the transition to the next world or something like that, if I remember the quote correctly. But
who knows?
Definitely interesting.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that shapes up. Also coming out is Spider-Man Web of Shadows for 360, PS3, and Wii. Also on the 21st. I don't know. That game looks pretty cool.
I haven't seen anything for it.
Been
incredibly disappointed by Spider-Man titles in the past.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Oh, man. I love playing them just to swing around. I hated the games. I just would like swing around in them.
Swing around fun.
Yeah. This game looks really cool. Like, it's all about aerial combat and using your webs to, like, grab onto, like, an enemy in the air and you, like, kick him, like, pull yourself over to kick him, like, bounce off, look cool flying.
Hmm.
And then you, like, grab onto another dude and, you know, like, leapfrog off his back to go higher into the air. It's about just, like, staying aloft and bouncing around that way. It looks really interesting.
Then I'll have to check it out. Admittedly, I haven't seen anything for it, but...
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anything for it either.
BioShock for PS3.
Yay.
Out on October 21st. You're going to eventually pick that up, Mike?
I am. I have heard all the wonderful things about it and finally got to play the demo. I've played it a couple times now, just trying it.
What's the demo? Like, what do you do in the demo?
It's just the start of the game, I think, pretty much playing Crash.
Oh, God.
The island.
Oh, I hate that part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because
I was telling Matt about that. It freaks me out. Like, I can't play
the
plane part. Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah. Especially crashing into the ocean, no good.
Yeah, well, like, when they put you, the part that freaked me out was, like, when you're in the water and you, like, have to swim. I don't know. It was troubling. It's pathetic. I don't know.
No, it's not. It's very... I'm afraid of sharks.
Yeah, I imagine there were sharks in that water, and I think that was part of it.
Yeah. But I'm very, very excited for that.
Yeah. There's a BioShock 2 trailer that comes along with that game.
That's right.
Yep.
And that's posted on the blog right now.
You get to see the wonderful handy cam.
Yeah, it's terrible. Footage. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm sure in time, once the game gets released, there'll be better footage of it up. So it's not just us, it's everybody. Everybody has the crappy version up.
Yeah.
Get pumped. Fable 2 coming out next week.
Disappointment.
What's that?
I'm predicting a disappointment.
You're predicting disappointment?
Yep. It'll be good review, but it won't be anything fantastic like they said it was going to be.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm excited. I'll be buying it.
Gonna buy it? Not gonna rent it?
Yeah, why would I rent it?
I don't know.
Why would you buy it?
If you like really hate it?
Yeah,
like, crap, I'm out like 60 bucks.
$60,
yeah. Like, that's a good point.
Money that could be...
put to other games.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know.
I think I just did a weird thing with my mic just now, so we'll see how that turns out.
I'll probably buy it. Yeah. There we go.
Anyway.
Fable 2. Look forward to it. Or not. And then we have Wii Music, which is coming out on October 20th. I had no idea that was coming out so quickly. Do you guys following Wii Music at all? Know anything about it?
Do not really follow the Wii. In particular,
Matt, have you
watched some guys talking about it? If it was going to be maybe like try to be successful like Rock Band or Guitar Hero or something, since the Wii's so popular, and that I don't know. I think it's they described it as like
it's a rhythm game.
Yeah, it's Rock Band or Guitar Hero for beginners, for people who can't really play those games.
Well, it's a different
kind of.
I've been watching a lot of stuff on it recently, and I am liking it more and more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was against it. I was straight up against it at the beginning, and now I'm, when it was announced in E3, and now I'm really liking it. It's about timing.
I think so, yeah.
It's not about pressing buttons in stupid non-relating patterns. It's actually about knowing. So an example that I watched was they took the song from like F-Zero, and what's his name? Miyamoto was like playing the melody on like a xylophone, and you could follow the little like bouncing things, the little bouncing notes to see when to hit the when to shake the Wiimote. But he knew like the song, so he would shake the Wiimote at the right time to play the. And then he was out. He was making mistakes too, because there'd be notes that you were that were incorrect. But I was like, I could recognize the melody, and I was like, oh, cool. And then he, like the video that I watched, there was like a bunch of kindergartners there, and they all had Wiimotes, and they were all like furiously shaking them, and it just sounded like a bunch of nonsense.
Huh.
But it looks really cool. Like I don't know. You can play dogs barking. You can play all sorts of instruments, anything you want. I don't know.
Wow.
But it's all public domain music, and then like Nintendo music. So you'd be playing like Happy Birthday and the Mario theme song.
Am I playing Zelda?
Or like Ocarina of Time music.
That would be something to look into. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm expecting it's going to do well, and it's going to be.
It does. From what you described, it sounds.
It sounds cool.
Very cool. Yeah. I tend to underestimate the Wii.
Yeah. I mean, it's been getting a lot of negative press because of how childish it looks.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It looks pretty cool. It's not going to cause me to, you know, I'm not going to go buy a Wii for it.
Oh, yeah, no.
It looks
cool. Oh, no.
And Rock Band 2 for PS3 is coming out on the 19th.
Phil's pumped. He said he's probably actually going to buy that this weekend.
Yep. Also, I circled this because it looks interesting. Rock University presents the Naked Brothers Band Game. Any idea what that is?
The Naked Brothers.
Do you know what the Naked Brothers?
I actually do know. I think they're either.
You've been to their website?
I have not been to the Naked Brothers.
Oh,
website.
I mean, I don't know.
They're a band, actually. Naked Brothers Band, oddly enough. I think by Disney or Nickelodeon, I don't remember. They're one of those kind of things.
And they call them the Naked Brothers?
They call themselves the Naked Brothers, and they are like prepubescent kids, maybe.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Or around that teenage angsty years.
Are they like ginger-y too?
They're kind of awkward looking, in my opinion.
Oh, God.
As far as that whole scenario goes.
As far as adolescent males, they're very unappealing.
Yes, they are.
Oh, God, Mike.
Thank you for making that more awkward.
Well, on that lovely note, I think we'll call it the end of the news section. Or do you have RE5 stuff you want to talk about?
I have rather a lot of RE5, so maybe today is not the day for that.
Yeah.
So, for another time, unfortunately, I was really looking forward to it last week. I've been following it through Tokyo Gaming Show and through everything that I can get my hands on. It's something a title I'm really excited about. But
is there anything you want to go into quickly, like without discussing the humanity of Wesker?
Yes, that was a debate we had earlier. Just very quickly, some things that have come up more about the storyline, your partner, Sheva, online and offline capable multiplayer, which I think is huge.
Yep.
It's the multiple control styles now.
Yeah, tank mode or the Gears mode. And
yeah,
the
Gears
mode.
And then, yep. Mm-hmm. So you have the traditional RE4 mode and then one that has strafing.
Yeah,
so.
I like the response, the guys in Capcom, the response to like the control scheme is, have you ever tried to shoot a gun and walk at the same time? It's really hard.
Because a lot of people were complaining, you can't strafe and shoot, but it makes sense. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Chris Redfield and Sheva are supposed to be government-trained biohazard watchdog organization. They're not going to just shoot haphazardly, especially in the survival scenario.
Yeah, in the thick of Africa.
So, yes. So, suck it up.
Yeah.
Deal with it. It's going to be fine. Yeah. I'm excited about it. Just more about characters that were obviously Wesker is going to be back, and he's playing a big, sneaky role, and still looks, in the TGS trailer that I saw, it looks incredibly dominant at life. Just kicked everybody's butt.
Oh, he is.
It showed, it showed Sheva and Chris trying to fight him on multiple occasions.
Yeah, like very Matrix equilibrium style battle.
He was just destroying everyone. And
everything I've seen that one. There's that mysterious dude who kind of looks like Honk. He's got like
the bird mask.
Yeah, he's got the, And then there's that other female character.
Excella Gion.
goodness, this is not my territory.
Yeah, she is. She's a new character who is working with her family owns Tricell Pharmaceutical Company, and she aligned herself with Wesker for some reason. It appears it's been said that she has a lot of information about Las Plagas from RE4 and all of the Umbrella viruses.
Mm.
So she has, for some reason, upper hand in that kind of thing. Is working with Wesker to unknown ends.
Oh, dear.
But that's all for now. We'll be right back with the discussion part 1 and 2.
And we're back. We will be going after the discussion section now. Part 1 and 2. Pretty simple this week. Part 1, we're going to talk about what game we're most excited for this month, and then part 2, we'll talk about are games too easy nowadays. So let's get into that right away.
Oh, okay. I guess I can lead us off on that. Sure. I am actually kind of torn, I guess. Well, just for this month, what am I excited
for?
Yes,
for October.
For October. I am still torn then. My excitement has been growing over Little Big Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, especially with the pre-order God of War outfit
Kratos outfit, that's kind of freaky.
That was a little surreal just now.
Oh my god!
Yeah, the Kratos outfit, the Minotaur, and the Medusa, and all those kind of aspects really got me excited. For some reason, I think and the concept of the game itself looks.
Wait, so you get other things besides Kratos?
Yeah, you get Medusa and the Minotaur as well.
Oh, okay.
And you get the God of War level creator pack.
Oh, cute.
So I guess it's just different content.
Oh, okay.
They show on the commercial for it. It shows like normal Sackboy walking through normal Big Planet scenario.
Oh.
And he falls through a pit into the God of War environment, and he transforms into Kratos, and all of a sudden there are spinning spikes, and Medusa and Minotaur appear in the background and terrorize you.
So in our first episode, we talked about how pre-order stuff influenced us to order games. It seems like in this situation, the pre-order material is swaying you quite
immensely.
Absolutely.
I don't care, like I said in the first issue, that I don't care about your bottle openers or about your maps. And music is cool.
My bottle opener is awesome.
I didn't have a bottle opener, so I'm glad I have one now.
Yeah, I saw it magnetized to your fridge or stuck to your fridge, magnetized to your fridge. But it's
amazing.
It's cute, I guess. I have bottle openers. I don't need one that says Nuka-Cola, but if it's going to actually add something to my gaming experience, something new, that is something that would absolutely sell me on a pre-order. And this Little Big Planet content is something that I am for.
I would probably have to say that for the month of October, hands down, it's going to be Fallout 3.
Yeah, that was my other choice. Yeah.
That game is just going to eat up so much time. And it's going to be top priority, so much to do. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I hear you.
And watching so many videos of it, and I'm just thinking of so many possibilities I could do with
the open-ended, you know, coming off Oblivion. You're excited.
This will be my first experience with something like that. And
did you not play Oblivion?
I did. No, I did not. I don't have a 360.
It's on PS3 as well.
And I didn't want to pick it up for PS3. I saw Phil play it.
Keys has it for PS3.
Oh, does he?
Well,
yeah. Well, maybe I'll check it out. But I saw Phil play it when it came out on the 360, and it seemed like it lacked direction. Maybe it was just Phil.
It's not fun to watch, I can guarantee you.
It was
It's not
brutal.
A game you want to watch.
I was bored, but from what I've seen from Fallout and from Fallout 3 and from what you guys have been saying from playing the older variations, I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something new for me, and I like the idea that I can explore this environment that's a wasteland, essentially,
Even if it is Oblivion in a Fallout universe shell, I'll be happy with that. Even if I just get to explore a Fallout universe and it's the exact same thing as Oblivion, I'll be happy.
That's exactly my sentiment about it.
You look like you want to say something, Matt.
Me? I think it'll be a lot different than Oblivion 2, though. I mean,
I hope so.
For you can pause and you know the stat points, and then you know first person shooter and
yeah.
You know, that's.
I think I had said last week that the you adjust your stat points quite a bit, but I found some new screens on Fallout 3 website where everything looks the same as the old school layout. Like your stats go from 1 to 10. You have your character information on your Pip-Boy. So I don't know if I had just seen something or just imagined something, but I think it's the exact same layout as the Fallout 1 and 2 type UI.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm in the same boat as these two guys. Fallout 3 is where it's at. Yeah. You know, Fable looks interesting. So does Little Big Planet, but I'm not a creator. I just want to play. I just want to use other people's games and see what they do. You know, I'm not as excited for it as other people are. I'm excited for it in that I hope it gives PlayStation a much-needed boost.
Yeah.
But other than original. That, yeah, I hope it helps to pick up that a little bit.
Unfortunately, my WoW playing will have to take a hit. I know Phil's been on my case ever since he even heard about Fallout. He wanted me to play. Phil's wanted me to play Warcraft with him, but when like, oh, Fallout's coming out in 9 days or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
12 days.
What's 27, I think. 28 is when it's 28th.
I don't know what today's date is.
It's either. So, yeah, 11 days. I was off by a few, but.
Ooh.
10 or 11 days, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, 11 days. I won't see you. I'm going to be going back to my apartment.
You're gonna, well, I know Keys is going to be at the midnight launch of Lich King.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You want to do midnight launch for Fallout 3?
I would be up for
at
that.
At Best Buy?
I have my pre-order now. Yep, I'm getting mine this weekend, right. Probably.
All right.
Got my Best Buy Reward Zone gift card already set in on buying Fallout.
For free, basically. $5 off the $5 coupon, or the $5 pre-order. Nice. Yep.
So that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Join us, listeners.
You should.
You know you want to.
Come to our Best Buy and to game with us.
Yep. We'll be in costume.
I will not be in costume.
Matt
unless
I can
get that sweet power armor.
Just like glue a bunch of trash cans together. I'll
bring a gun to the
gun. It's post-apocalyptic world, right?
Yeah.
It's flawless.
I'll do what I want.
Okay, well, I guess that wraps up. That was a quick and dirty discussion, part one. We'll move right into part two. Our game's too easy these days. Our game's too hand-holding. I know I talked to... I don't know if I was on air when I was talking about Okami and how irritating it is. Mm. But, yeah, I think games these days do hold your hand too much. There's too much tutorial. There's too much...
They really do beat you to death with this is how to accomplish the goals.
Mm-hmm.
I like you're talking about an Okami, the reiteration, the forcing you to go through a tutorial.
Yeah.
Forcing you to learn some things, like learning the more advanced controls when they become available as you progress through a game. I think that makes
sense.
Right,
obviously that's important. Like but teaching you how to do the brush strokes in Okami is something that you wouldn't intuitively pick up.
Right, exactly.
But knowing how to do like a platforming thing or knowing to go from point A to point B is pretty simple.
Or you need to get this thing, like you said with Okami. Mm-hmm. Get this. Like, oh. That's a point of interest. I'm obviously going to go investigate that because I have the IQ higher than that of mayonnaise.
Right.
But Keys was talking about there is a level, though, of a game being welcoming to new players or less experienced players. They think there is a fine line, though, between being welcoming and being it babies you
being
and babysits
intrusive,
you.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's annoying to the point where
or
I
don't
want to
play
do
Okami
it.
Anymore. Yeah.
That would be, I would have the same kind of attitude towards that. Whereas he loves Warcraft. Warcraft loves it.
Yeah.
And the level of, and it's a welcoming game. It tells you where you need to go. It makes everything very available, but it keeps him from playing things that lack that aspect. Like he complained about Warhammer Online to me because you end up in the cities. And you have no real guidance, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. The cities are very open, and they're very startling if you just go there.
So that was one of his big complaints is that it wasn't welcoming, it doesn't give you that same direction, or it doesn't guide you as well for certain things, and that was a big turnoff for him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a universal, if people need that degree.
In Warhammer's defense, we just went to the city through the flight point, and I just showed him around.
Okay.
Like, I've never gone through the straight up, like in Warhammer or in World of Warcraft. You get to a mission where they're like, here, take this to this dude in the city, and then you can kind of do the acquaintance missions within the Stormwind or whatever.
Right.
But I never did any of that in Warhammer, so I just kind of ran in there and looked around myself. So I don't know, if it's really cold and really open-ended, or if there is a more organic experience that can be felt there. But I know that he didn't witness it if there was.
Yeah, he was very displeased.
Well, it's not WoW, so he won't like it.
Yeah, he's we all get a little fanboy in us.
No,
so.
It's true.
I'm of the opinion that games have gotten easier, but I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because I look at harder games as being shorter, but having bad controls and just lack of save. Let's throw a million enemies at you and see if you can dodge all this. If you die, too bad. You know, just keep trying.
Negative reinforcement games?
You know, like you get three lives, you die.
Like Mega Man, yeah.
You have to start all the way from the beginning again. Mm-hmm. That's just more frustrating than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just because games have gotten longer and more complex, you kind of have to have saves, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of hate games like Elder Scrolls or KOTAR where you can save anywhere, because then you can just kind of cheat the game in a way. Like, you could just save before something happens, and you can change it.
Yeah.
They should have more checkpoints, I think, than anything.
But that's a personal choice. Like, that's something that you're going to do as a game player, not something that the game is saying, hey, you know, look at this way, you can do this. It's getting away from games being too easy. I mean, obviously, there's cheats. There's always been cheats. There's always been things you can do to make games easier.
Yeah.
But
I think that's separate. You can really abuse it, though.
Yeah.
It could just.
The game's not forcing you to abuse it. Yeah. Like it's forcing you to
go through a tutorial.
Yeah.
And when I just think of hard games, I think like Mega Man games, some of the older ones, and then like Ghosts and Goblins,
mm-hmm.
which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And just a lot of the side scrolling shooters.
Those games were harder, though, because they were limited in space, the things they could put into a game, so you had to make it last longer. You had to make the experience.
Yeah.
I don't want to say drag it out, because that sounds like you're being punished for playing the game, but. You had to make it last,
right?
Because to make it worth getting the game,
right? It seems kind of cheap. It seems sort of like underhanded that the developers would be like, "Let's make this game really hard, and therefore it will last longer."
Well,
but there's nothing really inherently wrong with that either.
No, not at all. I don't think so at all. I mean,
because a lot of those, like, I love Ghosts and Goblins, the Mega Man games, the old ones, and the X's, I really like as well. No save function.
And there are ways to get around those kind of things. You can go back to previous stages and you can get more lives or get more things that make other stages easier. And there are, by completing a stage, you can then go, like, for example, you play Mega Man 9, you go through mm-hmm. Concrete Man and you get his special weapon, and then you go to fight Magma Man and you use the concrete weapon against Magma Man or against the mini boss in that level, and it does more damage to those people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not necessarily a specific order, but there's an order you can go in to make it easier that's not given to you in a tutorial by any means at all, but you can kind of figure it out through the context clues, I guess.
Yeah. Your knowledge of science.
Yes, apparently.
Your college education.
College education is making me able to
defeat. Let's you understand that concrete beats magma.
Yes, it does.
Obvious, isn't it?
Apparently. To Capcom, it was.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say on a side note, like, what's probably been a really hard game you played lately?
A really hard game that I've played hard, lately?
Yeah, like, ridiculous.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to think of.
I played.
Besides Mega Man 9?
Yeah, Mega 9.
Besides Mega Man 9, Metal Gear Solid on the hardest difficulty is
that would be
pretty freaking difficult.
Yeah. Not getting caught at all.
Yeah. Yeah, no alerts. Mm-hmm. You get shot, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Real life.
Yeah, that is rough.
Yeah. Again, though, that's good though, because that's not forced on you. That's that's the hardest difficulty.
That's a level that's something I decided to put myself through.
Right, but if you play Metal Gear on like normal or something, it's not slapping you in the face with you know, this is how you use Octocamo. This is how you use such and such.
Yeah.
Here, go to this point. It'll have, if you bring up your map, it'll have the checkpoint on it, or it'll have the goal on it, and you may get a codec caller or something like that. Or as most people get really, you know, as there's been plenty of nerd rage spent on the the amount of cutscenes in that game, they're very easily skipped.
Yep.
Press of a button, you'd skip it.
And you missed the whole gorgeous, point of though. The game.
Well, I mean, if you've already played it and well, enjoyed the story, I mean, and you don't want to watch it.
I don't think there's too much nerd rage over the first playthrough, because everybody is then in there for the story. You want to see what's going to happen, but you can go back through it and skip it. No big deal.
Yeah.
You got a hard game there, Griff, that you played? Or?
I would have to say, actually, Fallout 2 has been very hard.
Oh, really?
Like I said, I've re-rolled my character. I've remade my character, having read, like, a suggestion as to what type of attributes and stuff to focus on. I made a character, like, I started out and I made a character with stats that I thought would have been really useful and kind of cool-sounding perks and stuff like that. And I struggled I finished the first area and I got to the second town and I did a bunch of missions in the second town in Calmath or whatever it's called. Did a bunch of missions there, cleared that town out, and I was like, this game should not be this hard. This is really irritating and really challenging. I'm getting really frustrated. So I looked up a guide, and I was like, oh, well. I also couldn't use a bunch of weapons in the game because my strength was too low. It's really frustrating. So I looked up a guide, and it said, you know, you want to probably put more points. You probably want to pick, you know, gifted town or perk, and you want to put more points in these stats and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, all right. And now things have been... they've been easier in that I don't die all the time, but combat is still really monotonous and very long, and you have to play, like, you have to sit down and play this game for a long time. You can't just burn through it.
Mm-hmm. And then, I guess me for, a hard game, there's been a lot, but, I would say, like, it wasn't necessarily too difficult, but, like, God of War on God mode. That was almost one of my frustrating gaming experiences, where you get towards the end.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, you have to fight a bunch of copies of yourself.
Yeah, that was... Yeah,
and that you're going to die a lot. And you got to kind of get lucky in the game a little bit. And
was that God of War 1 or 2 you said?
God of War 1. I still haven't played the second one.
Oh, but, so
I haven't given you that yet.
The spinning Blades of Death room, I've heard.
Spinning Blades of Death.
Isn't that the last one, the final level in God of War? I haven't played it, I just heard...
Spinning...
The traumatic final level.
Okay. When you're fighting through, like, the underworld.
Oh, when you're in Hades or whatever.
Yeah.
When you climb a wall and there's spinning. Yeah. That is a little frustrating.
That wasn't so bad for me though. In honesty. But that stage you were just talking about in the final boss fight. Oh. Yeah, yeah. That was a huge pain.
I could also say the last level, the meat circus of Psychonauts, was very frustrating.
I still haven't played that either.
But and that was because of poor camera.
Oh, poor camera.
Yeah. Very poor camera.
Get you every time.
Yeah. And platforming in a game where platforming was not the main focus. Or platforming as it was presented was not the main focus. But anyway.
Yeah. But I don't know. They can still be hard, but there's just too many easy games now.
But I think the thing is that games are often targeted towards a younger audience.
Every game is targeted as... when I was listening to something from a developer for... either World of... Or no, it was about StarCraft 2. And one of I forget the guy's name, but he was saying how we want to treat the game like... We don't expect that everybody who's playing this game is going to have played StarCraft and know everything about it, but we still need to go into the game and approach it like... We don't want to alienate people who have already played the game as well, who know this stuff. So it's an interesting balance, because they know they're going to rope in a bunch of new people from Warhammer and from... Warcraft 3. They're going to bring a bunch of StarCraft or people into StarCraft 2. So how do you make a game that gives a decent enough tutorial, yet doesn't stymie people who already know what they want to do? And
I think an RTS is like that is different, because you most of them have an optional tutorial level to play through.
Mm-hmm.
So you people who have played through RTSs before are familiar with the franchise, can just go right into the main campaign, whereas people who don't or want to get a better handle on it can play that optional level. I think
his point was also about the story too, because he was like, how do we make it so that we can convey this tragedy that is Kerrigan? And he's like, how can we do that without beating people over the head with the story of the previous game?
That I think that's a story issues and continuity, I think, are kind of a different issue.
Yeah.
But there definitely needs to be balance is something that is lacking in certain titles.
Yeah.
And
well, how many people do you think would? How many average game players would go to an optional tutorial? Like, how many
not
people?
Not very many people.
Yeah.
Most people want to just jump right in.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. for those kind of people, you need to have some kind of general overview, and then if they still don't understand it, the optional tutorial is still there.
Mm-hmm.
But
which is, I think, why Fallout 2 is so staggering for me. Like, when I started playing it, they kind of put you in this tutorial situation, but they don't give you any of the tutorial tools. Like, okay, this is how you do combat. This is what action point means. This is, you know, how to switch your weapons. This is the repercussions for opening your inventory when you're in combat. Like, these are all these things that you just kind of figure out as you're going through the game. And you're like, oh, it costs 4 action points to open my inventory, but then I can do anything I want in there. I can reload my guns. I can use stim packs. I can do whatever. But nothing's ever spelled out to you. And it was challenging because I wasn't prepared for that, but it's made it a really enjoyable game.
Would you say that the learning curve is too steep on a game like that?
I think so. I think if I had given that to, like, my stepbro or something like that, he probably would have been put off by it. I mean, he probably would have figured it out, but, I mean, I'm sure tons of people are going to figure it out, but they'll be like me and struggle and, you know, want to give up after the first city.
The thing about that, my opinion on that, is that if you're going to be stymied by that kind of thing, I like a learn-as-you-go kind of process. You learn through experience of how to respond in different situations, how to play the game effectively, and still get a good experience out of it. So otherwise, you end up with an Okami-like situation where you're bludgeoned to death with how to do things, and it doesn't really let you have that kind of, these are my decisions, these are my actions, and this is what's going to come of them.
Okami's good. Can we come
know,
up with
yeah,
some
other,
I know.
I don't mean to hate on Okami.
I know.
It's just something that we've had.
I think we should. Is there any other games that we can think of that have these really irritating, unnecessary type tutorials?
I think of
our hand-holding aesthetics. For me,
Ocarina of Time.
Halo 3.
Or
when it's like, use the trigger button to shoot.
Yes.
Aim your cursor at
of,
an enemy.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a first
it will turn
shooter,
red.
I need to point.
It will
my
turn
gun
red when it's an enemy. Like, okay.
I think I'm one of the few in the minority. Like, I love tutorials.
Really?
I just love them. Yep. If you give me an option to do a tutorial, I'll always do it. Because there's always something you may miss. So
I will be okay with probably missing that point.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to take away from my gameplay experience.
Especially in like a very I don't know what the word I'm looking for here, but in a game type like a first person shooter, what are you gonna miss in the tutorial?
You just go to the options menu, check the controls, like, okay, this is flashlight or inventory or crouch or run or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, what sort of nugget of information are you expecting to find by taking the tutorial in like Halo or Fracture?
Like one or two. Well, I don't know. For some first-person shooters, they'll always have like a alt fire or a what's their zoom or what's their, you know, access to special item.
Don't
like,
you
well,
end up just kind of figuring that out on your own though?
Yeah.
Well, then I have to press like every button. Oh. Like, and I hit something else that activates something else. Like, how the hell did I do that? And I'm like, okay.
I don't know if an FPS is a really good example though of having a some of the tutorial. They're lame. They're lame tutorials.
Yeah.
But I don't
they
think they're. They don't think they're hand-holding.
Well, there's a difference between like okay, when you have a game like Fracture, which introduces terraforming. And there's a tutorial as to, like, here's how you use this feature, terraforming. Like, you can elevate the terrain and you can get to higher areas. You can lower terrain and get under areas. You can elevate terrain and create cover for yourself. Like, I think that's necessary in a game because that's a new function. But do I need to know that, like, you know, when I pick up grenades and pull a grenade out, that this arc line is what, like, is showing the distance of my grenade throw?
Probably
no.
Not.
Do I need to know, like, that the bazooka... it's going to hit this target when I shoot it at this wall. Oh, it's really self-explanatory.
Yeah, but again, I don't consider that hand-holding.
Really?
I think
when you have to go through a level that's like, pick up this weapon, soldier.
That's more, in my opinion, introducing you to the controls, to the environment of the game and kind of atmosphere in some instances.
Weird.
When I think of hand-holding, I think of things, like a puzzle game, like in instances of God of War or Prince of Persia, where they swoop in on the camera angle, adjusts to make the ships to focus.
Oh.
And if you have a whole lot of reiteration of, hey, mm-hmm. look over here, like I was going to say with Ocarina of Time, you have your fairy
mm-hmm.
who flies around and just bugs the crap out of you to do this thing, to get to this place. Every time you come into the zone, it flies off and it just bugs you. And
jingles.
Yeah. Jingles, yeah.
Hey.
It's a pain. That's what I think of as hand-holding. Like, it's directing you, like, obviously trying to keep you on track for playing through the game, but at the same time is incredibly annoying.
Hmm. Yeah, that's irritating as well. I mean, but that's more for I can see that irritating in a game like that, in an adventure game mm-hmm. where you're solving those. But I mean, like in an FPS where they drag you through this tutorial and like, well, duh, I know how to do these things. Yeah, I just find that irritating.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's more of a, because you have the experience of playing these titles, a lot of the games, really, you can't really do much with an FPS as far as new control mechanics or things like that, or new responses of a bazooka to a target.
Right.
But they still want to do that to make sure you're familiar with the controls.
Yeah.
And do that kind of thing, so.
But I mean, I wish this, it just seems. We are working through a time paradox right now. There is a gap. We missed probably 10 minutes wrapping up the discussion of our game's too easy. Nobody's running the boards right now, so nobody was able to see that the time actually ran out. Just Matt and I here right now.
Yep.
We also weren't able to. That means we lost the final segment on No Game Left Behind. Briefly, that's going to be us just replaying an old game and talking about it over the course of a month or two, and that probably won't be happening until later since there's so much coming out at the moment. But that's it. Sorry about the truncated segment. Next week we'll be back with hopefully a full crew. And that's it. Thanks to Drake, to everybody who showed up, to David Wright for featuring us again, and just play some awesome games that are coming out.
Definitely.
Good night.